2, we're up to Avadia, we are in the middle, of Avadia, the first, up to the, we did the morale, and we went forward, we went into the next to Psukim. So these are also very well-known Psukim, learned in the Gemara. In Ganavim, Bo'olucha, in Shadi Laila, Eich Nidmeis, let's start at verse 384. No, Purim there, Purim Kiddush.
Yeah,
how was the first one? Has was kvoidoi. They sing kvoidoi. Mole olam misharasav shayalim zeloze ayei sora ishtecha.
Geffen koriyav yakisay. That was the
alkeias of vishes of vivia simol zavaki shtov kol shkevich. Okay. Page 384, the Pasuk K. Im ganavim bohu licha. Im Pasuk page 386 now. Im shoydi de laila, eich nidmesa. Halo yignivu dayam. Im boitshim bohu loch. Halo yashiru oileleis. We spent a whole day on this Pasuk, and it simply means that robbers will come upon you. We are referring here to the nation of Edom. Yimos HaMashiach, they will be obliterated, they will be destroyed. And the way that we learn the word Nidmesa, we had two translations so far. First, the translation of the Mitzudos David, which means obliteration. Obliteration. And the second translation we have, Nidmesa, is silence. According to the Mitzudos David, the statement is, if Edom, how could it possibly be that you were obliterated without any Zecher, without any rem, without any remembrance? Why are you worse than a victim of theft? Those people who have been victims of Geneva, they there's a Zecher, a Ganav who enters a person's home illegally and robs his home, leaves over something for the Baal HaBayis, does not take every last thing. He leaves over the kitchen sink. He does not take every last thing. When you, Edom, when you will be robbed in Yimos HaMashiach, your enemies will destroy you completely. They will not leave over even the smallest thing, not even the kitchen sink. Now next, when the Ganav comes, how could it be Eich Nidmesa? How can it be that you will completely destroy down to nothing? Halo Yignivu Dayam. When a person is robbed, Dayam, there's always something left over. Dayam means enough. The Ganav says, enough, let's now leave. In Boitrim Bohulach, Boitrim means people come to enter your vineyard illegally and they take away your grapes. Halo yash iru oile lois. Not that doesn't mean over here illegally. It means people come to harvest. Let's say even people not coming illegally, they come to harvest the vineyard. They leave over unripened grapes. How could it then be that you have been cleaned out? Pasuk vav eich nechpesu Esav. How can it be that Esav has been sought out of a choifes to search out? How could it be that your enemy went to search out all of your treasures? Nivu, it was exposed. Nivu, it was revealed. Matzpunav, your hidden things. Okay, Nivu or Nivu is Isgalyon. Okay, in the Targum he translates, it was revealed. It was revealed all of your hidden treasures. Or it means Nispakshu. Okay, it seems that he's given two translations. Either it means it was revealed or it means to seek out. Okay, Nivu is very appropriate for Shushan Purim because Purim is about Megillah. Megillah means to reveal. All of your secrets were revealed to the world. Okay, now this, we did already the Mitzudos, we did Rashi, we spent a lot of time. Now let's do the Radak. Radak on Pasuk Hey is back on the previous page, on page 385. Im Ganavim, Omar Derech Tema. This is a rhetorical question. Sheyismehu harayim be'es achorban shel edom ve'yomu ma zehaya licha. People will be in shock. How did you suffer such a awesome defeat where everything that you possess was completely destroyed? How did such a thing happen to you? Next, im ganavim shoydeducha balayla shayisa yoshein v'lo hirgashta b'chem l'monam v'lokum kinegdam. If a robber would come into your home in the middle of the night and steal, and you would not be aware, hello, the next page 387, hello, yignivu dayam, ki derech haganavim lignov dayam, kiloimar, day yuchlun says, they only steal what they can carry, v'yanichu hashon, they leave over something. Next, in boitshim bo'olucha, kiloimar, in bo'olucha shoydin bayoyim, ki boitshim sheyiftsiru hakerem v'yoshuvu pam achar pam livtsar. Here, the Radak is adding more bear into the pasuk that was not taught by Rashi and the Mitzudos, and he says that the Beitzrim are ganoven. It's a metaphor for robbers. That's not necessarily everyone agrees to that interpretation. It can be discussing a regular person who owns a piece of property, and he sends in a crew to harvest a vineyard. They don't take every single grape. They leave over the unripened clusters. Here, Radak says, no, we are describing here ganovim, who rob by day, and the Beitzrim is a metaphor. Metaphor meaning that when you harvest grapes, you don't harvest all of the grapes in one shot. You harvest them little by little. You come back today, you come back the next day, you keep on returning and returning. I'm not sure what that means, but even the ganav will come back day after day after day, in broad daylight, they also yashu or leilos leave over something else. She'inuchon niroys lachen mikat nusan. It's insignificant. Vehein nistaroys tachas alei hagefen, or they're hidden. Avol ato ech nichpasta. How could it be that you were sought out? Shlo hishpir hashedim chaklum. Afilu mat moine nisan. Even things that are hidden. Now, if you notice, the Radak is explaining that pasuk vav is a continuation. We did this on Friday. We did this last week. We did this before Purim. We did, but in a different oifel. We did this in Derech Drush. He's saying Derech Pshat. He's saying Derech Pshat is Eich Nechmesu Esav Nivu Matz Pum Punav, is referring specifically to the Beitzrim. The Beitzrim, people come to seek to harvest the grapes. They don't look underneath the small leaves to see if there's a little teeny grape that may be hiding. They don't care. It's not worth the effort to go pick up every single leaf on the vine and to see maybe they'll find a little teeny berry. It's not worth it. But here in this Milchemes Goygul Magog, when the Umay Sa'olim rise up to destroy Edom, they will uncover every single little insignificant leaf to see maybe there's something of value hiding underneath it. So it's a continuation of the previous pasuk. Next words of the Haganav Meshoydei Laila, Ha'inyin Echad Hu Kafal B'Miloshones Ki Roif Haganav Yigvu B'Laila. Okay, over here, the passage just winds down this idea of Haganav Meshoydei Laila. This is simply his poetic repetition. Echad Mesa, he's going back, now if you notice, he's going backwards in his pshat to just explain this little translation. Nidmesa, he learns like the Mitzudois, Nichrata. The word Nidmesa is rooted in the word obliteration. Kamo Nidmu Ami Mibli Hado'as. My people have been obliterated because they lack intelligence. Ad lo yoda mibli hadas. Nidma, good morning. Nidma, melech Yisrael. It means he'll be destroyed. The Yonasatir game, Echdun havas dmuch. Ad diganivu miso sehoin kolomer ech hoyiso yoshein. Now that's not exactly when Rashi. We were trying to play with Rashi. Rashi seemed to say the words "Vayidoim Aroin." Aroin was silent. Now the Radak doesn't just say that. Radak says sleeping. How could it be that Edom, you slept through the attack? You just let the enemy devour you as if you were asleep. That's not exactly what it says in Rashi, or at least Rashi doesn't explain himself. From Rashi, the way we explained was, you weren't asleep, but you were silent. You recognized that you were powerless to prevent what was about to happen, so you just sat there quietly and let it take place, like Vayidoim Aaron. No one says that Aaron was sleeping when he suffered the tragedy of the death of his two children. No one. it means he was very well aware what was going on, and yet he had the incredible koyach to be quiet, not to complain to Hashem. By Yidei Ma'arav, no one says he was sleeping. Shocking that the Radak here says that the word nidmesa means to sleep. That it's as if you were sleeping through this battle, this attack, and the whole thing just passed right over your head. Obviously, sleeping and being silent share a common theme. If you're sleeping, you're quiet. But it's not exactly the same.
But if you let your guard down so that you become vulnerable to attack, it's as if you're asleep at the switch, so to speak.
Right, it's an expression. But it's not literal. It's not literal. Right. In the Hanami, it's the same idea, but we are barred the most famous expression. The most famous, please turn them off. The most famous expression is Vayidoim Aroin, which means silence. And silence means it appears almost like a person is sleeping.
Because turn off your phones.
Right, next. Let's go further. Pasik, Pasik Vav Eich Nechtesa Esav, Perish Matmoine Esav, the treasures of Esav, Kemoshamar Nivu Matzpunov, Vinyin Kofel Bulashonis Nivu Mitargum Vayivakesh Uve'o, it means also, Va'o means to seek out when you daven. What is davening called? Daven is called a ba'aya, means a request. You make a request from Hashem, v'chein im tivayun b'ayu, if you really want Mashiach to come, if you really want Mashiach to come, the Mashiach will come, if you make, you have a sincere request. Okay, let's go now to the Malbim.
I want to say something of the Radak in the sleeping. Somebody in sleeping, he cannot protest when the Shodedim, they are coming.
Correct.
He cannot do anything.
Sleeping, right.
Yeah, sleeping. But Rashi said that keep quiet is good meaning.
Well, if someone's coming to rob you, you don't keep quiet. You speak up.
Protesting. What are you doing
protest.
Here? What do you want?
Exactly. So, but when you recognize it. When you recognize that you're powerless to stop, and if you protest, they'll kill you. It's in your best interest to be quiet.
No, he said, please, whatever you want to take, you can get it. No problem. I have agreed with you to take any money you want. Don't do any injury to me.
Harm,
you
right.
You can say also.
Okay, but that's a very big difference between being silent, means you're not going to protest, and sleeping. They're two different things. Let's now go to the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasik, Hey. Back on the previous page. Im, Acharei, page 385. Im, Acharei, Shehischil, Lenabois, Esa Osir, Lavoi, Al Edoim, Biacharei, Sayamim. After you begin, Lenabois, you began to give prophecy as a osel lovei al edem yachris hayamim shavlo hidya gamkein masha yikro lohem bizman koidem. So he's telling us over here the whole sequence of events. After Oivadia began to give prophecy what's going to be losel lovo at the end of day, shavlo hidya gamkein masha yikro lohem bizman koidem shabohu oivim liartzam ushlaluhu uvizazuhu. This prophecy, according to the Malbum, is something which happened, and from our perspective, happened already. Bizman Korov. At some point in time, Edom was defeated. Or maybe he means this through reference to before Achris Hayamim. It's not really clear what he means. Ukvar Bayarti, Shetzir Inyan Mapolosam Oz, Sha'anshei Berisoi Hisi'uhu Sheyelech Lamalcham Uchutz Li'arzo Al Shechenov against his enemies, who the eight shahoyah chutz liyartzo nichnasu oivim b'midinasoi v'hechadivoy esakol. Af al pi ze yidameh es oivim kaganovim shenichnasim b'seis shlo b'diyas balabayis v'shoyel haloi peril go for him one moment. What he's saying over here, the Malm seems to be saying over here is that I guess in Sefer Melachim, I don't know, I have to go back and study what's going on, but the Malm says that there was an event in history that already happened when Edom went to war against a neighboring country. And when they left their country to go to war, their country was vulnerable because the soldiers were not present. And the enemies took advantage of the situation and entered and destroyed the homeland. So there was some type of event in history when the nation of Edom, the people of Edom, they left, they went out on a mission to war against another country, and little did they realize it was just a decoy to get them out of the country in order that from behind the enemy can enter and obliterate the land. Therefore, the Malbim, unlike Rashi, unlike the Mitzudot, unlike the Radak, is telling us that these two psukim that we are reading, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, is describing an event that happened already. Unlike Rashi and the Mitzudot and the Radak, which give you the impression that this is all part of what will happen in the future. There is no disagreement that everything until Pasuk Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and Dalet, is describing what will happen in the future. That's Yemos HaMashiach. And everyone is in agreement. Now we're coming to discuss this theme of Ganovim, Shoydidim, seeking out your treasures. Is this also a continuation of the discussion of what will happen? Or is this referring back to an event in world history which did happen? The Malbim is going off the beaten track and telling us, study your history. Study your history, whether it's going to be history in Tanakh or study world history, things that are the clear facts, and you will see that this has already happened. And he continues, it's four lines before the end of the Malbim, Halay in the bold letters, Imbo l'cha ganavim ech nidmesa v'yoshanta. He also learns like Radak, the word nidmesa means to be asleep. The Yoiser Mizeh, more than this, Imbo l'cha shoydim laila, sha shoydim mashmim kol rash yoiser min aganavim. The shoydid, they make lots of noise. How can it be that you slept through them as well? Hallo, yignivu dayam, arganov, when he steals until he's satisfied. He does not steal every last thing. V'lamalo heakitzaisa, mishnoscha, ligoresh oisam, moisef lemar im boitshim bo lucha, shem goem basod shein balabayis sham, ki chein lo hayisim makam shabo hashoydim, hallo eshal, hallo yashiru oile lois. They should at least leave over some things. And therefore, I ask you the question, how can this have happened to you? Page 387. Shiur hakosuf esav. Okay, here is...
What is so much different between keep quiet or sleeping that all of the commentaries you are going to... discuss about this method, it's a very unique word.
The word nidmesa, we have already three translations. Either it means to destroy,
or that one.
It makes a difference in the pshat. When you study the pasuk, then it makes this different flavor to what the pasuk is teaching us.
But it did already. We cannot.
We have to learn. That's correct, but there's what to learn from. You study, that's the purpose of studying. You study what happened, and that is a lesson for the future. Now, here in this pasuk, there's something that is unique. The Malbim is coming to pick up. Why now suddenly have we changed titles? Until now, we have calling this nation Edom. Now, we're calling them Esav. Shiur HaKosuv Esav. Now, what does that mean exactly? In parentheses, there's an exclamation mark here. Hushem HaKriya Eich Nich, let's read, Eich Nech Pesu V'Nivu V'Niskalu Matzpunov Shehaloi Haboim B'Gneva Ein Lohem Eis Lichapes Achar Kol HaMatzpunim B'Loi Pachad. A ganav does not have time to search. Every moment is precious because he can be caught at any second. That they were not afraid that they Edom will return and will fight back. Now, why here are we calling them Esav? I don't know. It doesn't explain. Hushem HaKriya. Shiur HaKosuv Esav. I don't know what he means. Hushem HaKriya. I do not know what it means. Over here, Nech Mitzvah Lema Matzpunav Esav Hushem HaKriya.
Could Shiur mean measurement? The measurement of this pasuk is we're grading him Edom against Esav?
What do you mean? Esav is Edom. Edom are descendants of Esav.
Maybe he wants to make that clear.
Hushem HaKriya. I don't know what he means. I really don't know.
We know.
What is he trying to say here? Shiur HaKosuv Esav.
He skipped over it. Who's he?
The the Judaica press. Unless what he means to say is, Esav here doesn't mean the nation Esav. Esav means done. You're done. Why did Yitzhak call him Esav?
He's finished.
Sure, he was bearded. He came out of his mother's womb with a beard and pace. Cruelly paced. And a yarmulke also. A strimal. He had a strimal, a grew a strimal in his mother's womb.
Hair. A lot of hairs.
Right, he was a mature. Esav came out of his mother's womb complete. Asu. That's why he's called Asu. He really should be called, the truth is Chazal say, really, Yaakov should have been called Okev. Okay, a heel. Because the Pasuk says he grabbed hold to the heel of his brother. Esav should have been called Asu. Asu means done. You're a done deal. You're done. You're finished. You have a beard. You have facial hair. All of you're completely developed. There's nothing more that needs to be done. And what happened? Yaakov took the Yud from Esav took the Yud from Yaakov and took it for himself. Yaakov should have been all the way around. Yaakov should have been called Okev. And Esav means with the Yud Asui with the Yud. Right? Ayin, Sin, Yud, Vav. Ayin, Sin, Vav, Yud. Asui. Ayin, Sin, Vav, Yud. Asui. Asui. The Yud at the end. Yaakov was Oichez, the Okev Esav. Just like physically, Yaakov took hold of the heel is the end of the body. In name, Yaakov took hold of the end of Asui, Ayin, Sin, Vav, Yud. He took that Yud and he took it for himself and he put it in the front of his name, Yaakov. So he went from Okev, Okev, a heel, because he was holding on to the heel of Esav. And he took the Yud for himself, and he became Yaakov. Dr. Fruchter, good morning. Afreilecha Shushan Purim. I'm sorry I missed your call. I know.
We know.
We had a discussion about this.
Okay.
We have to continue the conversation. We have to make up call. Correct, because he was. This is all drush. Ein Moishivin, don't confuse me with the facts. Yaakov's name, he should have been called Okev. Esav should have been called Asui. Yaakov took the Yud, that's the heel of the end of the name, took it for himself, and now he became Yaakov. Now let's take that back. Now what is Asui? Asui means complete. Now, by the way, you can pronounce it Asui even without the Yud. Even if you don't, the Yud is silent, you can also say Asui. Even though we call him Esav, we make the Vav a full Vav because there is no Yud at the end. But theoretically, you can say the word Esav without the Yud. You just pronounce it A-Sui. You don't necessarily need the Yud. The Yud can be a silent Yud. Now, if that is correct, maybe what he's trying to say over here, I'm just conjecturing from what is over here. Over here, there's something very strange. Because here it says, Eich nechpesu Esav. Question, why suddenly are we changing titles? Until now he was called Edom. And now he's called Esav. Why the change? So he'll answer, poetic. It's poetry. You have to, when you have the different parts of the poem, you have to repeat yourself and you don't want to use the same word. It has to sound good. It has to bring out a point. So you change, you pull out your thesaurus and you have all the various synonyms to make it sound, to preserve the symmetry with different words. But if you were to pronounce it not the way it's spelled here in this pasuk, you would pronounce it Asui, Eich nechpesu osui, perhaps it would mean, how could it be that they completely cleaned you out? Nechpesu means to search. Not just a simple search. A thorough search. Like you go through the TSA on the airplane, so some people you just go through, and some say, excuse me, sir, come with us into the back. We want to do another search. And there you're not going to be happy putting up your hands and patting you down. You're going to take off all your clothing. Okay, and we're going to search you thoroughly. This happens every so often. They do this to people. So there's searching, a superficial search, and then there is a thorough search. Asui has a connotation, a thorough search. It does not necessarily, I think this is what the Radak is coming, trying to bring out a point, and he's coming to reject that interpretation. You have to remember that in the olden days, not everyone had such good editions of Nach. Not everyone had such good editions, and there was a lot of questions as what is the correct vowelization of the words. Not everyone had laser printers that have crystal clear dots of Esav. And that's why you have the Mesorah, you have the Mesorah, something called the Mesorah Ketana, and the Mesorah Gedoyla, and you have the Mincha Shai, and you have Rashi, you know what Rashi spent most of his time on? People would be shocked. Everyone thinks that Rashi was in Koilo, and he spent the whole day coming up with these brilliant Perushim and condensing all of his Chidushim into teeny little Perushim. Condensed. You know Rashi did most of the time? Rashi was Mavara, the correct Girsa. He had in front of him 20 manuscripts, and he compared one to the other to figure out, to make an analysis based upon whatever criteria he used to determine what's the right Girsa. And that's why Rashi almost commanded Daf, doesn't go boy, Rashi doesn't say, Hochi Gar Sinan. Rashi's specialty was not the Pshat. Would you believe it? Even though to us today, this Pshat is gold. He's the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, but Rashi's specialty was to the Mevarer, the correct Girsa. What is the correct words of the text? So here in Nach, there's also a big mystery as to the correct words of the text. Many, many times because they did not have the benefit of having manuscripts.
They had the benefit of Boscroll.
Of laser printer, of technology, it was hand copied. And when you hand copy, no matter how smart you are, you make mistakes. No one in tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachetah. You make mistakes, not little mistakes, big mistakes, not little bugs, water bugs, grosser mistakes. And so that's why you find very often in the Mefarshim and the Rishonim, they come to tell you pshat, and you see, so they have different gear size and different interpretations, and it's all based upon different gear size. I tell you what, I once went to a shul, it was an amazing lesson to me, where I went to a Mitzvah Shabbos, and there was a very chashva talmud chacham, a very shashir, daf yomi, and a very halva shtam shul. He had a Mitzvah Shabbos shurim on the shul. So Rashiva there came, this was many, many years ago, when the Masifta just came out. The Masifta, when the new folios. And he gave this Rashid, he gave us a very detailed, intricate, sheer darshing of Ruwan the Gemara. And I had the benefit that day before, I gave a daf yomi, and I said the sheer, and we went to the Gemara, and I took note that in the new, brand new Masifta Gemara, they had a Hagah on the side, that there's another Girsa. And the other Girsa was just a change of a Vav, I think it was like a Vav, it was a teeny little change. And I remember noting with the people I was learning with, you know, this little teeny change totally changes the whole Gemara. Mizruch al-Ma'arif. And the lundis of the Gemara completely goes, just a little teeny change of Haggah. So this Rosh Shiva didn't have the new Gemara. And he said this whole Torah, asking Akasha on the Gemara what's going on. And he said this whole Torah. And then at the end of the show, I went out, I said, you know, look at the Haggah and the new Gemaras. And I remember the expression on his face. He was blown away. He was blown away that his whole shear all depended on a Girsa. He sensed something here doesn't make sense. And he gave over this whole shear, built this whole binyan. And then when I showed him, there was another Girsa. Look on the Haggah and the new Gemaras. It's like, wow, it's like, you know, it changes everything. So here also, I am suspecting that if the Malbim is making a big issue, he's coming to reject that do not say the word Esav means Asui. Eich nech pisu osui. I'm not sure the exact translation of how it would fit, but it would then mean the ayin sin vav would not necessarily mean the nation Esav, would not necessarily mean the child of Yitzchak Esav. It means, well, the name means osui, and then the expression would then mean, how could it be that you, the nation of Edom, was cleaned out? You were done. Like people have the expression, you're finished. Right? You're done. You're finished. There's nothing more to discuss. The person commits a crime, the police grab him, and they say to him, we have the smoking gun, you're done. You're finished. You're going to sit in prison for the rest of your life. How could it be, you're Esav, you're done. You're finished. You've been cleaned out to the point where there's nothing left over. That's, I think, what the Malbim suspects the common man may translate these two words together. Along comes the Malbim, and he instructing the printers, no, that's not the pshat. It's a good try, nice try, but the yud is missing here. And my tradition, or at least my edition, has the dots a sav, not a sui, or something along those lines. And therefore, indeed, a sav here is a synonym for Edom. And that's what he says over here. Eich nich b'su esav, shi'ur ha-kosov, I think what he means here is the dots, the pronunciation, is a sav. Don't make a mistake and put the dots to read the word osui. Osu, or osu. Osu. Osu and osui are the same. Don't make the dots osu. Then it would mean, how could it be nechpesu osu? How could it be that you were completely, completely searched out with nothing left over to be discovered? Don't do that. The shiur hakosuf esof. It's an instruction. That's why the editor seems to have put here an exclamation mark. He's giving instructions to the printers. The way you spell the word is, how could it be that you, the nation of Esav, have been searched out? And then in the parentheses it explains, Hushem HaKriya, that's the way you're supposed to read it. Read it Esav, not Osu. Okay, then he goes on to explain. Eich nechbesu v'nivu v'niskalu matzpunav ha'shalei b'habam b'gnev. We already explained all that. Okay, v'shal b'gnev ha'imlacham l'eis l'chapes achol ha'matzpunav b'b'l'pachem b'gnev v'gnev. Okay, that is the way he appears to Lim Shan. The Pasuk is like Zion.
Because the name change?
Right, it's poetic symmetry. It's poetic symmetry, and the poetic symmetry is based upon this principle that there are two different names for this nation. One name is Esav, one name is Edom, and that's why it's fair game to switch the two back and forth, as is commonly done in Tanakh, as commonly done in the style of poetry. The whole pasuk is a rhetorical question. The whole pasuk over here is, how could it be that you were cleaned out? That you were cleaned out. But the point is the word Esav mean Esav as a nation, or is it Osu as what the pasuk means? Do not say it means osu. Instead, you should put the dots in such a way where it means Esav, and Esav is a parallel to the name of the nation called Edom. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Zayin. Ad. What is Pasuk Zayin? We didn't do Pasuk Zayin then, so we did not yet do Pasuk Zayin. So now let's take a look at the Likutei, the Mamori Chazal. Mamori Chazal, back on this page, page Vav, and then on page 387, the bottom of this page, we have Eich Nechpesu Esav Nivu Matzpunov Arba Avos Nezikin. This is from Daf Bava Kama. Everyone here at one point in time for Shulah Bava Kama, and you learn the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four Avos Nezikin. Hashor VeHabor VeHamaveh VeHever. These are the first Mishnah Mitzachlavs. The four principal categories of Mazikim. There is an axe. There is a pit. Hamaveh. There are two translations for the next two. And the Mave, what is Mave? And then there's Hever. Hever means simply fire. Ve'ha-hever is fire. What is mav'eh? What is the third of the fourth of the four nizokin? My mav'eh. What is mav'eh? What does the Mishnah mean? Rava mav'eh ze odom. Odom ha-mazik. Odom ha-mazik, the man himself, he punched someone in the face. Odom is obligated to pay for what damage that he causes. Odom muad le'oilom. There is no excuse for causing someone harm, no matter what harm a person causes, even an accident. Whether you're awake, whether you're sleeping, Adam muad li'olam. How do you know Shmuel says, Mave zehashein. Mave is shein. What is shein? Shein means when you let your animal eat. You let your animal into the field, and he eats. You don't muzzle the animal, and he walks into other people's property, and he consumes someone else's produce. Rav Amar, Mavez Adam, how do you know this? Omar Shoimer, it's the Yeshaya Omar Shoimer, Osa Voiker, Vigam Loilo, Imtiv Oyun, Be Oyu. Now, what does it mean there? Now, this Pasuk, the Gemara is telling us a Jush in the Pasuk. This Pasuk refers to also the Purim story. This is unbelievable how we're learning this on Shushan Purim. This is how it all started. This was the night when Belshazzar was assassinated, and the only living survivor from the family of Nebuchadnezzar was Vashti. Al derech ateva, Vashti should have been killed. And if Vashti would have been killed, the Purim story would never have happened. Because she remained alive. The one who took the throne of Bechol told me the whole medrash on Purim. Purim the day before him. Daryovesh. This little girl, he took a liking to her. Daryavish, she called on his throne. He was the daughter or the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She was the last living descendant of the Malchus of Bavel. And Bavel was paranoid that they would be destroyed by the new rising nations of Paras Umodai. There was an alliance between the nations of Persia and Modai. And it was Koresh. Koresh was really Modai. Modai was the one who took power, and he came, and they were a little bit. They were afraid what was going to happen. And that was the night when there was the Malach wrote the handwriting on the wall, and they asked Daniel, "What does it mean?" And Daniel basically says, "Your days are numbered. It's all over. It's curtains." They didn't believe him, and in the middle, they had a party. They thought it was all over, and they had a party, and there was a this pasuk is addressing the security services. The security service was standing on top of the wall. Omar Shoimer, Osa Vayker, Vigam Loila. Now, I don't even remember the Pashup Shadr. I don't remember, so I have to go back, but let's put that aside for now. Let's only focus on the Drash. The Drash is Yemos HaMashiach. And that's how the Gemara here is using this Pasuk, the Drash. Omar Shoimer, who's the Shoimer? Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is waiting for Mashiach. Achak Eloi b'chol yom sheyavai. Osa voiker, v'gam loilo, the day has passed, the night has passed, and nothing is doing. We're standing on top of the wall. We are anticipating the coming of Mashiach. The word shoimer does not just mean a guard. It means anticipation. And we learned this from Yaakov. We learned this from Yaakov Avinu. The aviv Shomar es hadovar. Yosef had a dream that all of the brothers would bow down to him. Yosef would become melech. He told the dreams to his brothers and his father. His father told him, quiet, quiet, quiet. Don't make your brothers angry. And then the pasuk concludes, but ve'aviv shomar es hadovar. And Rashi says that he anticipated, mitzape, he yearned. When will this dream come true that my son Yosef, my ben Zikunim, to whom I've given the Kesonis Pasim, will be a melech? Be a melech. Shoimer means to anticipate. So here we have Klal Yisrael. What? The night of anticipation. On the night of Pesach, we anticipate, we are mitzapeh for the coming of Mashiach. Because Maisa Ovel Simon Amonim, the story of the Exodus is just a lesson, is a template for Yemos HaMashiach, for the coming of Mashiach. So it's the night that we learn the playbook of of Yemois HaMashiach and Bias HaMashiach. It's the Leil Shimurim, the night of anticipation. Now, let me first say something. Now, here we have Omar Shomer. Who is the Shomer? Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is anticipating the coming of Mashiach. And Klal Yisrael is very disappointed. Nothing has happened. Also, Voiker. The good days have come. All the good days, Hanukkah, Purim, all of the miracles that have happened for Klal Yisrael have passed. And all of these miracles have not mushroomed into Yemois HaMashiach. We would expect that after Purim, and we were given permission once again to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach should come. And what happened? Nothing. Business as usual. And then Rachmana Litzlan v'gam lo'ilo. There have been dark times in history. And what has come from that? Were we inspired that Mashiach should come? Unfortunately, nothing doing. The Laila has passed and Mashiach still has not come. So Hashem now says to Klal Yisrael, this is a very important pasuk. What's the problem? The good days have passed and the good days did not succeed in serving as an inspiration to bring Mashiach. The bad days, the dark days have passed and did not inspire you either to be mispalad that Mashiach should come. You know what the problem is? The problem is you just don't want Mashiach to come. You don't want it. You're not interested. Even in the biggest tzaras or in the biggest simchas, it doesn't shake you up that you should want. If you want Mashiach to come, you have to want im tiv oyun be'oyu. In this context, if you want it to come, it will come. Im tiv oyun, if you will desire, then be'oyu, desire.
Yeah, but the problem is, tiv oyun is the key word here because that's what relates to Mazda.
I'm coming to explain to you now. I'm telling you the very important Yisoid. I'm going to explain right now. Yisoid. Im tiv oyun, be'oyun. If you want it, pray for it. So that you have to want. You have to have a sincere desire to be mispal to Hashem that Mashiach should come. Question. Mechol just says the obvious question. This is Pshan the Gemara. This is what you learn. This is learned the first day in Masal. You learn the first day in Yeshiva, in Bava Kama, 10th grade. So what does this have to do with Mashiach? With Adam. The Gemara says, there are Arba'o Ovois Nizokin. Pshan the Gemara. There are four Ovois Nizokin. Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever. Shor, we know what it is. Bor, we know what it is. Hever is fire. Okay, Eisha Mishum Chitzoy, Eitzo Mishum Memoinoi. Whole sugi, what is the nezik of Eish? And then there is Odom Hamazik. How do you know this Odom Hamazik? Hamave is Odom Hamazik. How do you know Hamave is Odom Hamazik? How do you know this? Because in the pasuk, they have the same shoyrish, the beis and the ayin. In this pasuk, it talks about the coming of Mashiach. Omar Shoymer, the anticipators of Mashiach, they say, the good days have passed, the dark days have passed, and Mashiach didn't come. Why not? Hashem says, Im tivayun be'oyu. If you really want it to come, ask that it should come. Pray that it should come. The essence of man is to pray. David said, Va'ani sifila. I am a creature of prayer. The essence of man is to desire. That's what man, that is the summary of the human being. A human being is not just, okay, he comes into this world and he sits there like a king and everyone dances around him. That's not what a person is. A person is a creature who has desires. You have taivas. You have taivas, all different types of desires. A desire to conquer. Kivshua. Redu v'aretz v'chivshua. You have desires. They're all different. And all of those desires all come with the realization that the only one that can help you achieve your success is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to seek out divine assistance in everything that you do. So the summary, the essence of man is in this koyach of will, the will to succeed through asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for assistance. As David HaMelech himself said in one expression, Va'ani, who am I? What is my essence? What is the definition of who I am? Sefilah. I am a creature whose purpose, whose goal is nothing other than to serve Hashem. Va'ani sefila. So that's how the Gemara learns that the word mave, please wait until I finish, the word mave, the word mave is rooted in the word tiv ayun bi'ayu, prayer, and this pasuk. Here we have over here the same exact expression in this pasuk. This pasuk over here says, that's Rav. That is how Rav learned Shah this pasuk. Now we go to how does this relate to our pasuk over here? We come to Shmuel. Shmuel says no. The word mave is not a reference to Shane. To Adam. Mave is Shane. It's the nezek that happens when an animal eats from someone else's property. Shmuel says mave is Shane. The chassid says in the pasuk, Eich nechpisu Esav. This is the pasuk we learned today. How could it be that you Esav was nechpisu, that you were sought out, you were searched, nivu matzpunav. The Gemara says, where do you see in the word nivu matzpunav, which we learned different two translations, either means revealed, or it means to seek out, in the word your secrets, matzpunav. How do we see the word nivu that refers to damage that an animal does by eating with its tooth, my mashma. Here we go to the Targum. Kidim Targum of Yosef. Eichdun is Bilesh Esav. How could it be that you were searched out? Is Galion Mat Mo Rohi. You were exposed. The Targum translates the word Nivu to mean exposed. Like the word Megillah. Megillah means a revelation, a Gilui. And in the brackets he explains, Ketzat Chipsu Eitzel Esav. How could it be that he was searched out? The Nisgalu Kol Mat Moinov. Hare, so what do you see? He follows Shuvia the parish, the editor here in Bear this parish. Hare, we see that Shenivu, who Lashon Gilui, Vishain Behema Pa'amim Megula, Pa'amim Mechus. So that's what Rashi there says, the Gemara says. The tooth of an animal, as he eats, sometimes it is exposed, and sometimes it is concealed. So therefore, it fits very well into the context of this pasuk here that says, Nivu Matzpunov. Your treasures were revealed. Because a treasure is usually concealed, and only when you need it do you reveal it. It's the perfect match for a tooth. When a person is not eating, then his teeth are covered. When a person or an animal, for that matter, eats, then his teeth are revealed. A treasure, most of the time, is put in hiding. It's concealed. When you need it for an event or for a function, then you go to your safety deposit vault and you take it out, and it is revealed. So the word nivu is the perfect dugma for a tooth.
Nivu is in the pasuk?
Yes, our pasuk, pasuk vav. Eich nechpisu Esav. How could it be Esav? You were searched. Nivu matzpunav. Backwards, your treasures were revealed. The word nivu is the same word as mave in the first mishnah of Bava Kamma. Shor bor mave heve. What is mave? Mave is mave. We have two perushim. Rav said it means odom hamazik. Shmuel says it means the damage of shein, which means an animal, your animal, going off on its own into someone else's property and consuming, eating someone else's produce. You are responsible to pay for the damages. You cannot say, that's a grumma, I didn't damage anyone's property. My animal did it, not me. No, Torah is megala, you are responsible. How do you know the word mava means shein? Because shein means a tooth. A tooth is concealed and revealed. Nivu matzpunov means the treasures are normally by the definition concealed, but sometimes they are revealed. That's how we know it's a no. We know what nivu means shame. So I just want to say a little bit of a Jewish here. We come out lamaskana that we have the word in the Mishnah shor bor mave heve, and the Gemara tells us that there are two different meanings for the word mave. Mave either means odom hamazik or it means the nezek of shein. If it means odom hamazik, we have to go to a pasuk in Yeshaya, Omar Shomer, also Boker Begam Loila, im tiv oyun be'oyu. If you really want, the word be'oyu means if you really desire for it to come, double expression. If you really desire that Mashiach should come, it will come. You have to desire it. Here, it says, and that's how we know it means Adam, because the essence of man is desire. A nefesh. What does it mean, nefesh? The Mitzvah always translates the word nefesh, ratzon, desire. And tivayun means desire. Here, Shmuel disagrees, it means a tooth. A tooth is sometimes exposed, sometimes revealed. When you combine the two together, desire, and the tooth sometimes being exposed and not exposed, it means to pray. Because when you pray, you have to move your lips. Chana, her lips were moving, there was no call coming out. When you move your lips, the teeth are sometimes exposed, sometimes revealed. So if you just learn the pasuk, desire, that's Adam. Because a man is a person who desires. That's, in fact, the literal translation of the word nefesh. But when you add that it also means a tooth, so a human being who exposes a tooth in an expression of desire is a reference to prayer. Because when you pray, you have to move your lips. You have to move your lips to get the words out, to say the words. Whether you're saying it quietly or whether you're saying it out loud, it must come together. So it's very interesting how, for us, on a practical level, these two perushim in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, are really two halves of one whole to give us a practical lesson of what is the nature of man. Man, the word, we have one word, maveh. The word maveh is used in Tanakh in two different forms. One is clearly an expression, that is a reference to a tooth, and the other is an expression to a desire, which indeed is a reference to a human being. A human being is a neshama, and neshama always translated as rotzon, desire, but you can want something and keep it to yourself. The way you have to express your desire is through the koyach of showing your teeth. You got to show your teeth a little bit. How do you show your teeth? When you move them up and down to bring out prayer. So in essence, Rav and Shmuel are really complementing one another in a practical level for us to learn from. Let's finish up the Chazal. Shalosh av oyos bayoim. There are three different zamanim. Av oyos comes from this word over here, ba'oyu. Nivu. There are three different zamanim in the day. Shebuchem nichnasim ha aniyim lasode lilakei peya bashachar uvachatzos uvamincha. My av. This is a quote from Masechta Peya. Okay, it could be that this is a Mishnah Masechta Peya. That three times a day do the aniyim go out into the field to collect the peya during the harvest season in the shachris, chatzos, midday, and in the end of the day. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi is the question, what is the translation of the word av oyos that I mentioned in the Pasek? Omar Rabbi Ovin, Kumad de Tema, Eich Nech Pesu Esav, Nivu Matzpunov, Nivu Hu Lashoin Hiskalus, Revelation. As the Targum says, Uperush av oyos hu hiskaluyos, Shebizmanim Eilu balasode nigle v'nire basode sheyavohu hoanim v'yikhu. The pasuk, the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us in a very delicate way, is that the Baal Habayis should go out to the field three times to invite and encourage the poor people to come collect the peah. If the Baal Habayis stays inside during this time, then the anim, the poor people, may be shy, they may be afraid that the Baal Habayis. The Baal Habayis is going to get angry. What are you doing here? So the Baal Habayis has a command by Chazal to reveal himself three times a day in the season of harvest when there is peah. There are leftover ears of grain to invite and encourage the poor people to take what they are entitled to. So the Mishnah was very delicate, and they used this word, and this word is rooted in this pasuk, where it means revelation, as the Targum says. How can it be that Esav, the nation of Edom, it was revealed all of your state secrets? How could that possibly be? So that, the same way the word here is used in this pasuk, it's also used in the Mishnah. Three times during the day, the Baal Habayis has an obligation to reveal himself. I think it's very interesting. In summary, these Mamar Chazal, we know that we have three different dimensions in this world. There is Oilam, which means physical location. There is zman, there is time, and then there is nefesh. In this world, everything falls into one of three categories. Either it's place, location, 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 or it is the who's who of the morning kolo, the person, okay? Who are the famous people in this world? Who, the famous significant people, the person? And number three is zman, time. Every single thing in this world is divided into one of these three categories. Oilam, nefesh, and what did I say? And makom. Oilam is makom. Oilam is makom. Nefesh is the person. And zman. These are the three different dimensions. Today in these two Mamari Chazal, isn't it amazing that we're taking this word of be'oyu, and we're giving it these three dimensions. According to Rav, what does it mean? Adam Hamazik. Adam. And what is Adam? Imtiv Oyu Be'oyu. Man. According to Shmuel, it means shame. What is shame? The animal is entering into someone else's property. The damage that an animal does to someone's property. It consumes territory. And according to the Yerushalmi, it means zman. It means sholosh avoyos bayom. Three, this one word, this mysterious word, takes on so many meanings, which encompasses the whole world. The symbol beis ayin, the shosh of beis ayin takes on. No, it's not a quick ayin beis. Hashem, one of Hashem's shema is the shame, the ayin beis, 72 letters. When the Shekhinah came down, right, it says there were 72 people who came forward. Only 70 of them can be selected for the Shekhinah. Okay, the number 72 is a very mystical number in Jewish thought. Okay, how it applies here, I don't know, but it's very, very interesting is that we have here this word, the Shorish Beis Ayin, we have these Amori Chazal struggling what it means. This pasuk we learned today is a key element, a key pasuk in coming to define the meaning of this word. And Sach HaKol, we take out these three elements. It's Adam, it's Mokoyim, it is Zman, and we've discussed how we've combined them all together. That what is man? Man is really, you know, maybe it's really what man is. Man has to pray at the right time. There's a zman to pray. There's a special eis rotzei. Vani sefilosi l'cho Hashem, an eis rotzei. We mentioned before, Rav and Shmuel together represents vani sefila. Rav, it means man's desire. Shmuel says it means the tooth. It means don't just have a desire and keep it locked up in your heart. Express your desire through showing your teeth, which clearly means tefillah. But you just davening, whenever you want to daven, davening has to be va'ani sefilosi l'cho Hashem at an ace rotzei. The sholosh avoyos. There are three times when the Baal HaBayis has to reveal himself, three zemanim. There's an ace rotzei. It's not the same when you daven Yom Kippur, when you daven a regular mincha during January. There's a zman that's an ace misugel, an ace rotzei, what you could accomplish. Fascinating how all of these three things come together. Okay, we'll stop here, take a short break. We'll learn a little about Shushan Purim and about Parashat Tzav. Let's start with the Hasidic.